And so this is a trade card that the Jeannette Expedition, so is that the late 1870s? And it's promoting these undershirts that are supposed to keep you warm and regulate your body temperature, which was definitely something that was of kind of in the air in terms of medical science in the late 19th century. There was, physiology was sort of coming into its own as a discipline, and there were a lot of ideas circulating around how you regulate temperature, how cold and how hot the body should be, and especially ideas about how you should wear something that allows sweat to ventilate off of your body and kind of regulate your temperature that way. So this chest shield seems to be trying to capitalize on that, the way that we would, you know, have kind of high-tech comfort garments today that are made out of certain materials. And these trade cards were really popular. They'd be printed by different print shops, and as a retailer, you could order ones and have your own business name and contact information printed on them. So the idea is not that the Arctic imagery is selling just your business or your product. It's that it's eye-catching for the customer. And so if you're a printer who wants to make these things, you know that a lot of different retailers, different manufacturers would be interested in them, and you can kind of provide them with this ready-made design. And one of the things that I think is really interesting as a researcher looking at this time period is that this time in the late 19th, early 20th century, a lot of people will say the quiet part out loud. So you don't have to say, well, you know, what did Peary think about American civilization, and what did he think about masculinity, or what did he think about white people and white people's relationship to people of other races? He just tells you, and you read his writings, and he's very explicit about this. So, you know, he really felt that he was a man who could put on native clothing, but just as easily take it off and put on a tuxedo and be a sort of, you know, paragon of American white heteronormative masculinity, and really felt, I see the postcards from that came out after Peary's expedition that say stars and stripes nailed to the North Pole. I mean, he really, I think, genuinely felt that. But he felt that part of his genius as this sort of man coming from this very advanced civilization, and I'm using scare quotes around all these kinds of terms, what he thought of as this very advanced civilization was his ability to recognize that the Inuit had a much deeper well of knowledge in these environments, but that he, as an expedition leader, could exploit that, and that part of his Peary Arctic system, as he called it, was utilizing indigenous knowledge, but for his own ends. I mean, for a goal that didn't really make sense in sort of Inuit culture and cosmology, and going for the North Pole, it's this sort of abstract point on the map. Why would that be important to people who didn't see the world through that kind of lens of conquest and of setting records and outdoing other nations? So I think that Peary especially, you see this really, really brazen example of somebody who wanted to use native technology for his own ends, and really was kind of doing that self-consciously and promoting that as part of his own genius, or, you know, again, scare quotes, what he saw as his own genius. Yeah, Henson's labor, and, you know, it's interesting to see the sort of, on the kind of meta level, how people write about Henson today, because sometimes you see him described as a friend or a valet or a servant, and, you know, what is the narrative about what Henson and Peary meant to each other? I you know, to me, it's I feel that Peary sort of abandoned Henson immediately after he had reached, or again, you know, in quotes, kind of reached the North Pole and had accomplished his goals. That to me doesn't say somebody he considered a friend and a kind of partner in this endeavor. But it was Henson, of course, who learned to speak Inuktitut and learned how to drive dogs, and really was integrated into the Inukuit community much more, in a sense, than Peary was, who was just really there to give orders and hand out pieces of metal as trade goods. It was Henson who really formed intimate relationships, I think much more so than Peary did. And then there's also Peary being supported by a lot of people back home, especially women who he sort of didn't acknowledge, women who were fundraisers. There was a woman named Elsa Barker who was his ghostwriter, I believe, for his last book, maybe for another book as well. So there's a lot of hidden labor that's behind all of these explorers, And especially somebody like Peary, who had eight or nine Arctic expeditions, multiple attempts at the North Pole, many, many rounds of fundraising, bringing all different kinds of materials and staging different things in the North. It's a huge amount of work, and there are a lot of people behind the scenes who are written out of the final published expedition account.